Vecna Robotics is a leading company in supply chain autonomy. We move pallets with autonomous vehicles for warehousing and manufacturing applications.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Robot Industry Podcast. We're glad you're here and thank you for subscribing. I'm Jim Beretta, and our guest for this podcast edition is Craig Malloy. Craig Malloy is the CEO of Vecna Robotics, the leader in flexible material handling automation. Craig has more than two decades of experience founding, scaling, and leading global companies in venture capital, publicly traded, and private equity environments, including Lifesize, Bloomfire, and Via Video. Before entering the corporate world, he served as a lieutenant, surface warfare officer, and nuclear weapons officer in the United States Navy. Craig holds a bachelor's degree from the United States Naval Academy and a master's of business administration from the University of California, Los Angeles Anderson School of Management. Craig, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Hey, what's happening at Vecna? Can you give our listeners an update?
Sure. There's a lot of things going on at Vecna. This is my first foray into supply chain warehousing and robotics industry. And the thing that's really struck me is how unimaginably large the opportunity is. This is a workflow, people driving forklift trucks to move pallets, move heavy loads around manufacturing warehouses is it's a workflow that hasn't changed in 100 years since the invention of the forklift truck. And so there's just more opportunity than we can imagine. So we're very, very busy, optimizing and hardening our product solution and selling into customers, landing and expanding into some of the leading companies in the United States. So it's a super exciting time to be in this business.
Absolutely. You've picked a business with lots of wheels on the bus, right?
Yes, that's for sure. And the other fun thing about it is it's early days competitively. So, an early stage growth company, you're not entering the business where, you're coming in, you're competing against Microsoft and Google, every day. So there's some room to maneuver. And this is, really exciting, exciting new applications for customers as well. So there's lots of interest in what we're doing.
We're such a medium here in podcasting. I just kind of want to get an idea. What does a Vecna robot look like?
Well, a Vecna robot looks like a forklift truck or a pallet truck. Probably, most listeners would probably be more familiar with the profile of a forklift truck. We use electric forklift trucks. Sometimes the old school forklift trucks had a big propane tank on the back, looked like a beer keg. We use electric forklift trucks, and then we convert a standard new forklift vehicle into an autonomous mobile robot by mounting an autonomy kit, which is basically a Linux-based x86 computer, but running, very, very sophisticated autonomy and robotic algorithms that our team of engineers have developed for over many, many years. And then we also mount a variety of 3D and 2D LiDAR sensors and high-resolution imaging sensors, as the input, the eyes and ears of our robot. And then they're, that's connected to Wi-Fi in the facilities. You get all the benefits of of an industrial Internet of Things device and application. So you'd see if you saw one of our vehicles in a warehouse, it would look like a standard forklift truck with a couple of extra boxes mounted to it and a couple of masts holding the LiDARs and a few blinky lights and running around with no driver on it.
What are your customers and your prospect customers? What are their pain points? I kind of imagine it, but I wanted to hear from you.
Yeah, the pain point today really is all, and for the 15 months that I've been at the company, is really around labor availability, which morphs into really a business continuity discussion with the customers. We hear customers say, we can't go get new business for our third party logistics business, which is one of our major markets, because we can't find people to staff the warehouse to go sell our warehousing services to customers. Or a manufacturing company, a car manufacturer, would tell us we can't staff our new electric vehicle factory because we just can't find enough people to move material around the facility. So it's really becoming a serious business continuity problem for our customers.
It's funny how, you know, in the old days, selling automation was all about quality or saving money or something. Now it's about staying in business.
It really is. I mean, the quality and the reliability and the safety and the productivity, is assumed. They expect you to do that. That's table stakes. And we won't be in business very long if we can't do that. But it's really about labor availability, and then the secondary issue is this kind of wage inflation, and so it's just it's really been a struggle for customers. One customer that we serve up in Canada, a large third party logistics that serves a major retailer up there, says their particular warehouse is down 200 people, and so they're just desperate to have our robots do more and more work for them.
Is there a key industry that you're serving? Like you mentioned 3PL, like logistics companies, but is there some other bullseye customers that you're kind of got your eye on?
Sure. We have, there's three primary, kind of key selling propositions or ideal customer profile points that where we really shine. So the first is someone who has a large facility. Let's call it 300,000 square feet or more. I used to think that was a large facility until I went into some 2 million square foot warehouses. So a large facility. So that's number one. Number two is a company, a manufacturing facility or warehouse facility that runs two shifts or more, meaning they need to hire two people, to use one forklift truck back to back in shifts. Many of our customers run 24/7. It's not uncommon that they do three shifts, but two shifts is a really a sweet spot for us. And then they have the need to move a large amount of heavy loads. It could be on a pallet specifically. That's probably most of what we do, but it could also be heavy loads on a tugger. We use we have a home goods retailer where we move rugs and couches on carts pulled behind a tugger, an autonomous tugger. And then like an automotive, we might move a custom rack that has some automotive components in it, but that it has pallet like pockets in the bottom. So that's kind of our primary workflows. We serve three market segments or vertical markets. One is automotive or automotive like manufacturing, because they have they have lots of heavy things to move around to keep their production line going. Second is large retailers who run their own warehousing facilities, who have their own distribution centers. And then the third is third party logistics companies that do outsourced warehousing for other companies. And those are our three primary markets. And I'll talk a little bit about the ideal customer profile. And almost everyone in those segments who fits those customer profiles, it would be could really benefit from a Vecna solution.
Thank you, Craig. Craig, you went to a trade event recently and you took some polls of the visitors, which I think is a very creative idea. Ellen and I were chatting a little bit and they said, hey, listen, they went to a poll and they said like 90% of the people that you were had no idea of how they're going to get there, right? How they're going to deploy automation within their warehouses and within their facilities. And I thought, wow, that's a really good question, but a remarkable number of people.
Yeah, this is so new for many, many of our customers. Almost every one of our customers that we to whom we speak, this is a completely new workflow technology application for them. Some of the some of the very, very large automotive companies have had experience with AGVs or wire guided autonomous vehicles, and they use a lot of automation, robotic arms in assembly of vehicles and things. This is very, 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 very new. If you were to look at another recent poll or survey study from Gartner, this is one of the highest priority C-suite items for executives in those industries, and yet 90% of the people have no idea how to get started. So we're actually doing this webinar series. And then we also, we turned it into presentations for trade shows that we go to. It's called From Nobot to Robot. And we, you know, we have some best practices and principles that, you know, help customers along that journey. And that's a lot of what we do in terms of our marketing as well. It's educational materials,
sure,
to help customers kind of get a sense for what our technology can and can't do for them. Because we obviously don't serve every application in every in every workflow. For instance, we don't go out in the rain and outside today. So that's we operate indoors. So you know, that's kind of a common question that we get from customers.
So I'm a warehouse manager and I want to put robots in. So how do I go from nobots to robots? Like obviously I should join one of your webinars. But what are some of the I'm a big believer in webinars.
But yeah, a couple of things is you know, I mean, we have a solution architects that can have it. They'll have those early discussions with you. But a couple of core principles are, you know, identify a specific workflow that you want. Don't try and bite off the whole thing at one time. But find a specific workflow or small. You know, small operation where you can get started, and then start small. You know, start out with a few you know a few vehicles. It gives the customer a chance to get comfortable with us. It gives us to understand the customer's operations. There's lots of common elements that we find in every warehouse or every manufacturing facility, but they're all slightly different. And then maybe most importantly. You know, the people on the floor, the operators, the people that work in the warehouse and the manufacturing facility, this is new for them as well. You know, I think there's sometimes they feel like it's a threat to their job, but when we talk to the management of those companies, it's mostly about, you know, helping them and taking away the not so lovable jobs that they might not want to do, long half mile runs in giant warehouses, just kind of mindlessly driving things around, and can provide a whole new career path for people working in the warehouse as well. You know, in technology, being a robot wrangler, managing the technology, the robots, rather than just lots of people. So. This start small, you know, find a workflow that you think is a good fit, and we can help you with that, and then we can scale from there. No physical infrastructure. You know, you don't need to have a $1 million investment in some kind of physical infrastructure to get started. We can start with one vehicle for a very low cost, show success to us and to the customer, and then grow from there.
Craig, I kind of imagine that your stakeholders are like the CFO, the CEO, and the plant manager, but there's an awful lot of stakeholders in a 3PL or in a big manufacturer.
Sure. I mean, it's you're right. It's the CFO who's looking at the bottom line. Most of these large companies have industrial engineering teams. You know, maybe have been trained in robotics and in college and bringing those new ideas in. You know, they're often the tip of the spear in kind of an evaluation. So that's certainly part of it, but a real core constituent, and you mentioned it, is the operations team at the facility. If you don't get the buy-in, really the buy-in and the acceptance of the operations team at the manufacturing and the warehousing facility, we're just not going to be successful. So, you know, we spend a lot of time. You know, with kind of both those constituencies, what is this going to do for the bottom line of your business in terms of business continuity? And then how do we not interrupt, but how do we make your operations better? How do we make your business go better?
And Craig, how do you sell robots? Do you actually sell them like for a price, or is this robots as a service? What's kind of the status right now?
In the last year, we've shifted our business model to an OPEX model, a robot as a service. And what we're finding is we weren't sure how well that was going to be accepted, because a lot of our customers, you know, typically buy their forklift trucks on a capital equipment cycle and budget it that way. But we're really selling the drivers that you can't hire is really what we're selling. And so, you know, what we're finding is that this robot as a service, an annual fee, And then it's easier to put into perspective on how much you're saving. And some customers buy monthly or quarterly. And so, you know, the return on investment is almost immediate. If you're running two or three shifts, our all-in service is just a fraction of what you'd be paying all those people. And our robots show up ready to work every day, as long as you keep their batteries charged.
That's an important part, right? And you're getting, yes, one of the things I love about having automation in these types of places, get rid of all the propane fumes, which is, I think, for everybody else is a great idea.
Yes, for sure. And we actually have, one of our customers has been talking to us about, they're switching their material handling vehicles, manual ones included, to hydrogen fuel cells. So I think that's nice. That's a new, something we're exploring as well.
Craig, do you have any use cases, kind of like the typical and the unusual uses?
Sure. So today, and this is a massive market, and as you might imagine, there's a number of adjacencies and workflows throughout warehousing and manufacturing. And one of the most important things you can do as an early growth stage company with really reasonably limited resources, it's probably more important to decide what you're not going to do as what you are going to do. And so what Vecna Robotics is focusing on today, the first workflow where it's our goal to be the best in the world at this particular workflow, is ground to ground and low lift movement of pallet sized loads around warehousing and manufacturing. So ground to ground, like just moving it on the ground with a pallet truck or a low lift or a forklift, and then low lift, putting it on a conveyor, putting it into an or out of an ASRS system or onto a 6-foot rack. So that's our sweet spot today. And just in the U.S., that's about a $10 billion opportunity. So just massive opportunity. So we're really focused today on ground-to-ground and low lift. And then some of the future adjacencies, that are open to us within the warehouses are things like trailer unloading. That's a bit of a specialization, but using the same types of vehicles that we use today. Another big opportunity is case picking. We're turning homogeneous pallets into rainbow pallets to go to convenience stores or retail stores, and then high reach put away. Warehouses go more and more vertical, being able to put pallets into high racking. So each one of those is a bit of a specialty, an adjacency to the core technology we're building. But certainly there's a long runway in this market, but today, we're focused on ground to ground and low lift. So it'd be dock to receiving dock to put away, receiving dock to cross docking, or to end of aisle for further, or to a stretch wrapper for further processing, or into an ASRS induction or something of that nature.
The applications just seem to go on and on. So on and on. I think it's exciting for sure. Every $10 billion, right?
Yes. Yeah, no, it's just, if you go by any major city and you see these massive warehouses that are being built, kind of in the exurbs of these cities, those warehouses are full of racks and hundreds of forklift trucks and hundreds of people. Those companies are struggling to find people to do that work.
And you mentioned ROI. And so you said earlier, I think, that the ROI was just almost automatic. So what does that ROI conversation look like?
Well, we don't, I think, when we first start selling, obviously we don't want to go in and start negotiating on ROI assumptions with the customer. I think we try and have a business continuity discussion with the customer. That's really the more subject. But if, coming down to it, if you're running a 3-shift operation, a Vecna robot as a service is about half of what you'd be paying all those people, and that's really not including the soft costs of turnover and sick time and vacations and damage and injuries. Your listeners may not know this, but there are tens of thousands of serious forklift accidents every year in the United States, and this is you can look up that data on the OSHA website. And in dozens of deaths as well. Whenever we go into one of our customer sites, there are safety on these large machines moving around with large loads in front of the driver's face. I mean, it's like covering the windshield of your car and driving around in some cases, as those trucks drive around for many times forks forward with the load. And so, you know, with the performance level D safety systems that we have on our robots, you know, our autonomous vehicles in a warehousing manufacturing setting are safer, are actually, you know, proven safer than manual drivers. And one of the things that's, you know, we borrow liberally from self-driving car technology. One of the reasons we've been able to advance the state of the art so far is we've been leveraging all the great work that, you know, that companies, you know, the many companies in the autonomous driving space have been working on, have invested tens of billions of dollars. And so, you know, driving LiDAR down the cost curve and up the performance curve. So, you know, when we can deploy those in a much more controlled environment, it's a far, far safer application than, autonomous vehicles on the open road. The safety concern is kind of the other way still. And eventually I'm sure it'll get there, but, that's certainly one of the big inhibitors why they're not broadly deployed today.
Yeah. Some great data there. And while we're talking about data, how important is data to your customers? Because this is something that they probably never had before, right?
Yes. I mean, if you to sum it all up, I mean, what customers really want to see is where are my robots and what are they doing? And so, you know, and our goal is to, you know, to have that, those simple metrics on your phone. And so, you know, you could be sitting on the beach on vacation and, you know, with the magic of cloud technology and industrial IoT devices and web technologies, we can provide that kind of instant feedback to our customers. And then, we have a data warehouse where we record everything that a robot ever sees, ever does, ever touches, ever picks up. And then we can use that for learning in our next software release. All of our robots are software upgradable over the internet. And so we can, you know, continuously provide any minor bug fixing or feature enhancements, just like your Apple TV box or any or your phone. It just gets better over time because we can upgrade your device and also what we learn about it every day.
And you're located in the Boston area, and you manufacture locally, do you?
Yes, we do. We're a company's headquartered in Waltham, Massachusetts, and we have some subcontractors make some sub-assemblies. We do final assembly and tests in our facility in Waltham.
And has supply chain touched you as well? I kind of assume it's touched everyone.
It has, yes. We've been scrambling quite a bit for the last couple of years to make sure that, you know, that we can keep our line running and our customers supplied. A couple of things we have going for us. One is our the source of supply today for our forklifts is in the United States. So, you know, we don't have the added complication of shipping from overseas on a boat, on a ship to get them. So that's been a little bit of a help. And then our volume today is not massive. So if we're short a few components, we can generally buy them on the spot market without breaking the bank. I'm sure you've heard of some of the stories of some of the car manufacturers where they couldn't get these chips, and they have tens of thousands of vehicles where they're not able to send them to customers. So we haven't had that level of problem, but it certainly has kept us on our toes. I know, making sure that our bill of materials is always full.
And I'm assuming you guys are hiring too, because it's a very competitive market in your part of the land for robotics.
Absolutely, senior developers in robotics and cloud technologies are always in demand, no matter the economic environment. And we're always looking to hire great people in those areas.
So, did we forget anything to chat about today?
Well, we've covered a lot of ground. No, I think that, I just think, you know, this is just a super exciting area that's got a lot of room to run, and just scratching the surface of what's possible. And, love going in and helping customers, make their businesses work better.
And when you're not knee deep in robots, what do you like to do?
Well, you know, being the CEO of a growth stage company, you know, provides a lot of stress occasionally. So, I like to get out and you know, do some physical things, work out, swim, ride my bike, you know, play a little golf. I have five kids, four daughters, one son, and four dogs, four Labradors living in my house. So it's pretty busy around here.
Never a quiet moment.
Yeah, never, never.
And how can people get in touch with someone at Vecna or yourself?
Well, the best way is through our website. Easy Google search, Vecna Robotics. Got a brand new website going up this week, and lots of ways to contact us on there, and you know, have one of our folks immediately contact you back. And learn a lot about what we're doing too. With our new website is chock full of educational materials. How to get from nobot to robot.
Thanks very much, Craig.
Thank you very much. Great talking to you.
Our sponsor for this episode is Earhart Automation Systems. Earhart builds and commissions turnkey solutions for their worldwide clients. With over 80 years of precision manufacturing, they understand the complex world of robotics, automated manufacturing, and project management, delivering world-class custom automation on time and on budget. Contact one of their sales engineers to see what Earhart can build for you. I'd like to thank A3, the Association for Advancing Automation. They're the leading automation trade association for robotics, vision and imaging, motion control and motors, and the industrial artificial intelligence technologies. You can find them at automate.org. And I'd like to recognize Painted Robot. Painted Robot builds and integrates digital solutions. They're a web development firm that offers SEO and digital social marketing and can set up and connect CRM and other ERP tools to unify marketing, sales, and operations. You can find them at paintedrobot.com. And if you'd like to get in touch with us at The Robot Industry Podcast, you can find me, Jim Beretta, on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there. Today's podcast was produced by Customer Traction Industrial Marketing, and I'd like to recognize my nephew, Chris Gray, for the music, Jeff Bremner for audio production, my business partner, Janet, and our sponsor, Earhart Automation Systems.